Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for the people of Iman, for the people of belief, the people who hold Iman and belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them or assigned them an action that has to be performed and implemented. Our maqsad, our objective, in reality, our maqsad, our objective, our goal, in reality is this task that Allah Ta'ala has assigned to us. And this is the asal, the genuine, you could say, or the real objective that we need to pursue and the action that we need to implement. And this genuine action or real action that we need to implement is to please Allah, is to attain Allah Ta'ala's happiness, is to become the beloved servant of Allah, and to attain Allah's qurb, to attain Allah's closeness and friendship, and the doors to Allah's ma'rifah, to go through them to gain the rewards that Allah Ta'ala has assigned for us, to obtain them and to get to the destination of paradise, and then to attain the higher grades in Jannah, the darajat. All of these are our objectives. All of these. And the rest of the things that are present in the world, yes, they are our needs that need to be fulfilled, but they are not the maqsad. Eating, drinking, wife, children, sleeping, business. Let's not make this the objective or the end point or the goal. These are the needs of life. And there are such needs of life that Allah Ta'ala says, I fulfill your needs myself. I've made it so easy. Allah says that I fulfill your needs myself. That whenever it comes to the subject of need, Allah says according to your status, according to your scenario, your circumstances, Allah says I will, according to my preference, fulfill your needs. But all of your effort that you need to make in your life, through your life, with the life that I've given you, Allah says, the energy I've given you, is that Allah Ta'ala says you need to spend all your time and your energy to attain your objective. And Allah Ta'ala said, هَذَا سِرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. This is the correct path. But shaitan will try to take you away from this path. Shaitan will try to deviate you from this path. Because he is adu'un mubin. Allah says, تَعْبُدُ. Allah Ta'ala has utilized the word تَعْبُدُ. Shaitan, that he will not just tell us what to do, but rather we will accept his advice as if he is Rabb. Allah says he is aduun mubin, he is your avowed enemy. Allah says be clear and be careful, he is your enemy. What's his enmity against you? That he will take you away from your objective. He will take you away from your objective. And what is not our objective, that Allah Ta'ala said that I will fulfill your needs, he will make this the maqsad. The things that we don't need to run after, that Allah Ta'ala says, I am responsible for these affairs, he will make this our objective. He'll say, look, yeah, you're making a house, a mansion, business, children. This is all your objective. And the individual will be very happy that, oh, my children were born, they'll give the same adhan. Adhan in the child's ear, that as soon as the child is born, the adhan is given, you have to do this, grow up and be this, and construct this, and make this, etc. Alhamdulillah, if a child is born in a deendar house, in a house where there is deen, people following deen, then they will teach him Quran and make him a hafiz. But maybe he doesn't have interest in this. This just becomes a routine of life, doesn't it, for a person? So in this, there are many other issues that arise. So in this way, the person's life is moving along, passing along. And we need to think that how long more will we drive the car in this way? How long more? And today, nowadays, I am feeling sadness since I've heard about Yusuf Bhai, that I'm very sad and upset that he was my very good friend. And every day we used to meet after Ishraq, he used to sit down. And not just today, from 16, 17 years, I had friendship with him. And not just friendship, there was good love between us. And there was gift, giving gifts and receiving gifts, hadiyah, alhamdulillah. And people may not know, but I had a lot of muhabbat and love and akhlaq with him. A lot of love between us. And suddenly he's disappeared. See, that he is ill, very ill. May Allah Ta'ala give him health, but a person has to go through these difficulties in life sometimes. And today that scene comes in front of me, just like he's changing the time, the clock, And he had a habit that he would change the time, Fajr time, then he'd come to me straight away and shake my hands, and then he would go forward from there. A very good habit. Once it happened that I was in Maraqba doing dhikr, and he came to shake my hands, the poor soul, and he was there bowing down and to shake the hand. And I didn't know, and Mawlana Sahib was laughing, and he was stood there, and I didn't know how long he was there, and then he was stood there in the same way, and everybody was smiling and laughing. Then after some time, some people, they used to think that, what is he doing here? But I used to have happiness in my heart, and I used to have good feelings for him in my heart, alhamdulillah. And in this Ramadan, mashallah, he gave a lot of assistance in dhikr. We used to sit in dhikr in the front row on the Thursday night, and mashallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he prepares the individual to assist the deen, to serve the deen. Allah ta'ala prepares the individual, and how Allah ta'ala selected him and allowed him to, alhamdulillah, utilize the time properly. And I was quite surprised that people are about to sit at the front, and he does dhikr with a lot of passion. He'd come every Thursday night and sit down in dhikr, and he had a lot of muhabbat and love. And once it happened that a person came, the poor soul, to learn dhikr, and I was teaching him dhikr, and he was sitting to the side watching. When the person went, he said, "Tell me, what were you doing?" He said it like this. I said, "What can I say to you? You're not going to do this." He said, "No, I will do it. Tell me what to do." And I said, "Will you do it?" He said, "No, I will practice." I said, "You will not do it." He said, "I'm telling you, I'll do this." I said, "You need a tasbih with this." He said, "Yes, give me the tasbih." Then I gave him a tasbih. He said, "What shall I do with this?" And I said, "Use the tasbih like this." He started to use the tasbih. And then I gave him the dhikr of Allah. So this is something that you learn in the memory, and it becomes a memory. And today I'm speaking about him, and tomorrow you will speak about me, and I may speak about you. And then the life of the qabr comes, and the person is lowered into the grave. We think he's died and he's gone. Where has he died? Where is he finished? He's alive. That individual is alive and becomes such an environment. A person leaves this world that, you know, for example, if you get injected and you are unconscious, you haven't died, have you? We think that he's not listening, he's not speaking, and his hands move them from here to there. We think this is the case, but the deceased, this is not the case. The deceased is, when we lower him into the grave, it's just like he's sitting here in front of us. Everything is working in the grave the same way as it was working in the world. So tell me now, let's imagine for a few moments that you are sleeping, or I'm sleeping on the bed, on the mattress, and we fall asleep. And whilst we're sleeping, somebody picks me up and throws me into the ditch and throws the soil over me, and I open my eyes. I say, "Hey, what's going on?" "Oh, it's so dark," and I'm like in the ditch, in the trap. And I say, where have I come to now? What's happened? Imagine this, it's darkness. So imagine when the person goes in the grave, it'll be in the grave, in the darkness. And this is what happens, that for a few moments, a person, for example, has got the injection and he's asleep. And then when he goes into the qabr, he wakes up. So when we die, we'll be unconscious. But when we come into the grave, going to the grave, we'll wake up. What will we do at that time when we're in the grave? And totally, I'll be sat like this, just like I'm sat now, or like the way you are sat now. But there will be darkness. Yeah, just like a little ditch. If you make a ditch and somebody throws you in a ditch, what can you do? You're trapped. And here you can scream out or knock on the door, "Oh, I'm going to die. I'm going to die." And what will happen in the grave? The person will shriek out, scream, will say, "I am trapped in the darkness. I was totally fine. Where have I come to now? What's happened here? I've been sent here." And he'll scream out and he'll screech out, but nobody will be there to listen. Because when a person is in the grave, and as soon as the last person who came to bury him throws the soil over his grave and turns and goes back, then the dunya will change, the scene will change, and angels with either good appearance or very bad appearance will come with the knowledge of what that person did in the world, and the hereafter reckoning will start, and the story of life in this world will end. So did Yusuf Bhai know that this would come when he used to listen to me, that tomorrow this will happen to me, and that tomorrow I may pass away? Did he know that this was his final meeting with him always, when he used to open the door and that we used to speak, and I would have a little discussion with him? I'd speak in Gujarati with him, and he'd speak in Gujarati to me, and we would smile with each other, to each other, and I'd go my way, he'd go his way. But I didn't know that this was the final joke between us. Maybe this is our final gathering where we sit together. Maybe. Do you know? Do I know? Nobody knows. So this is the life that we're passing, and we are sat down here today, and we have incurred many losses before this. Is there a bigger deception than this? The whole Quran The more than 6,000 verses and Bukhari Sharif and Tirmidhi Sharif and Ibn Majah and Siha Sitta, the Hadith and Imam Malik Rahmatullah and all the kitabs, the theme and the narration that is coming to us is that you are going to die. Prepare for your death. You are going to die. We are going to die. I am going to pass away. I need to prepare for my death. This is the message coming through the kitabs. And what's Allah Ta'ala saying in the Quran? That shaitan will come to distract you and take you away from this path, from this objective. And the shaitan will say to us, no, this is important first. Salah is not important first. First do this action of the deen, of the dunya. Shaitan will tell us that you will pray. You say, don't pray in jamaat today. That jamaat has gone. That jamaat will not come back again. Remember this. Until the day of judgment, that jamaat will not come back. The person who has left Fajr jamaat today, until Qiyamah, that Fajr jamaat will not come back. And the accounting of that Fajr Jamaat will come in the grave, but the praying of that Fajr Jamaat will not come back. Will it come back? No. Anyone who could show me that he will bring back, reclaim a missed Fajr, Allah Ta'ala invites us to his home and we reach to the house of Allah, to the masjid. It's just a 10-15 minute game. And after 10-15 minutes, that Fajr has gone from our lives, disappeared. The person who stays on his bed, a mattress, and is lazy, he has lost his maqsad, objective, and shaitan has overwhelmed that person. And that person has worshipped shaitan, ta'abudu. Allah says, you haven't just listened to shaitan, you've worshipped shaitan, you've obeyed shaitan. And he has changed and flipped our objective of life. He has hidden our objective of life. He has veiled it. Let's delve into our lives, those who have left the Fajr Salah in the morning. Where will you seek that Fajr Salah that has been missed? You can't fight to bring it back. You can't do anything. Rather, in one night, Allah Ta'ala announced that a big night is about to come. It will be a great morning and it will pass. Where did that Jummah go? Where did Muharram, the first of Muharram, the barakah we had to get from the whole year, where were the people at that time? Did they come? They came, alhamdulillah, they earned and they left. Within seconds, always a person has to remind himself and struggle with himself and overcome the desires. We need to every second understand our objective of life, that what is my objective? What is your objective? And then we need to look at our faces in the mirror. Because the mirror is a very great asset. And look towards your beard. How white has my beard become? And how many hairs are falling off? And 10 years ago when I used to stand in front of the mirror, I was smart and handsome. But now, every second and day and moment tells us, the mirror, the reflection will tell us that you have gone beyond even what you could imagine that where you would be. But because we've removed the objective, that Allah Ta'ala says, do these actions or don't do these actions. Allah says, do and don't. But don't deviate from your objective. Because Allah Ta'ala says that if you go away from your objective and then you follow the orders of shaitan, it's as if you're worshipping shaitan. Allah says, I will fulfill your needs. Subhanallah. You just worship me and I will fulfill your needs. So put the objective in front of you, Allah Ta'ala says, and be courageous. That don't forget your maqsad, your objective. Because you are sacrificing the time taken to run after the needs of life. Allah says, I promised you when I've introduced myself to you. Allah says, I've introduced myself completely to you. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allah says, I will rear you. I'll give you bread and food and clothes and food to eat and water drink. I'll give you halwa and sweets. All the things that you want. But do not leave your objective of life for the needs of life. And Allah says, I've given you the stomach, so I'll give you food to go into the stomach. If you're in England, then I will send mangoes to come after you. I'll send santri and other fruits. And maybe due to our tawfail, that the people here will also be eating. Otherwise, how would they know how the food arrives here? Subhanallah. So Allah says that these are people who eat mangoes and nice mangoes. So the mangoes ran after us, behind us. Those people came from such a long time ago. That did you ever have mangoes in the early days? They forget about mangoes. We didn't even know if the potatoes were correct. Even the potatoes we used to eat with difficulty here, there was nothing to eat. We had nothing, no resources. So do you understand the main point of what I'm saying? You're listening carefully to what I'm saying? This is not a speech. This is just discussion. If this was a speech, then my speeches would have been stopped many a week or month ago. But this, so yesterday, isn't this what we're discussing today different? And what isn't today different from before? So can you show me that there's the similarity and the exact same content as before? Because this is not taqreer. This is not a speech. This is not a bayan. This is something else. So listen to what I'm saying carefully. It's not just you who are listening at the moment. There are many hundreds who are listening around the world. Australia. Where is Australia from there? Phone calls are coming. From about this majlis, about this gathering that we want to do tawbah. Tell me, how far is Australia from here? It's across the other side, the other hemisphere. Subhanallah. And places from Africa, people call, they attend the majlis, say, Hazrat, we've listened to your bayan. And you say that, oh, keep on giving bayan, keep on giving bayan. They have the appreciation of bayan. My one bayan changes their lives. Subhanallah. After yesterday's bayan, so many phone calls, so many messages, that mashallah, the silsila, you could see his progression there. From outside, not from here. Oh, please tell, allow us to do tawbah, allow us to do tawbah. I said that, I thought that people were listening and people thought that, what kind of bayans am I giving? And maybe I'm wasting the time, but mashallah, this is not taqreer, this is no speech. Allah is calling and I'm speaking. Subhanallah. This is the reality. So have appreciation, value these words that I'm telling you. I'm not telling you a story or folk tales or things that are not useful. These are words that pierce the heart and penetrate the heart. One sister, she said, the Hazrat, doesn't matter what is the situation, but this one point, though every word of yours, it goes into the heart. MashaAllah, it goes into the heart and it penetrates the heart. And I said, this is the person who's learning properly, because the mu'min's heart is not that bad. It recognizes the haqq and the right. So our objective, always keep it in front of ourselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? The objective. So if we want to keep our objective as superior and not our needs, because we don't run after, Allah hasn't prevented us from working, earning money, running a shop, running a taxi, etc. But we should not be far from our objective. We should not lose sight of our objective. Our objective should always be above, superior, and the means, the needs of life below. That's what is our salah. What is our fast? MashaAllah, these are all maqsad. And the faraid, the compulsory deeds, these are all our objective. All of them. The question doesn't arise that we leave these actions. Can a person leave salah? Can a person leave the salah in jama'ah in congregation? This is our objective of life. If we leave salah in jama'ah, then he's left his objective. Allah Ta'ala says, then you have taken shaitan as your God. And he has dragged you towards himself. And he's saying that this is the path. Follow this path. But no, we should say no. The words of the Quran, if you read Surah Yasin, هذا صراط المستقيم, that he says, this is the right path, this is the straight path. Come onto this path, you'll be rich, people will praise you, then you'll fight the election and you'll be chosen, elected, and people will run after you. And why do you run after Jamaat and other people? What is the form and shape you've made? That look at what you've done all these years and you haven't achieved anything. And people will say, the Subhanallah, look at him now and he's achieved something in dunya. So if a person's objective is clear, then he should allow his objective always to be in front of his very own eyes. So what has Allah Ta'ala prepared for us to attain this objective? What's our objective? Shall I repeat again? Revise again? Allah Ta'ala's pleasure, Allah Ta'ala's happiness, Allah Ta'ala's muhabbat, Allah Ta'ala's love, Allah Ta'ala's qurb, Allah Ta'ala's nearness, darajat in the hereafter, rewards in paradise, the levels of paradise, the whole Quran is explained, such scenes, such beautiful wives and maidens in Jannah, inshallah, ours, because inshallah we'll go to Jannah, say inshallah, inshallah. Such women, such beautiful women, that a person will see them and be shocked and amazed that, who is this woman? They will be, and will be told, this is your wife. And I'll say, that was my wife. And they will say that she is our head. She was our head. She's the head of the women. So tell me, if the women will be so beautiful, then imagine how the sardar, the head of the women in paradise, will be so beautiful. Doesn't matter if today, nowadays, she's going to the dentist and repairing her teeth, etc. Don't worry about this. Allah Ta'ala will make her as much beautiful in the hereafter, inshallah. You will see this. So now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say and give the darajat, the levels. And Allah says, what have I prepared for the people? What should we attain? How should we attain the success? So, to attain Allah Ta'ala's nearness and love, Allah Ta'ala has given us amal, deeds. There's not a tax that Allah Ta'ala has put on our head. He's not given us a punishment. That is a difficulty for us, the amal that Allah has given. The amal have been given to us. Allah says that my servants need to obtain these actions and practice these actions. So I'll tell them the actions to perform through which they can attain my ma'rifah and nearness. And I have given them the advice of doing action. For example, if I say to go to the marketplace, shopping center, go and buy A, B, C, D, E. You'll say, okay, fine, I'll go with the list and I will buy all of those things. I'll bring this commodity and this item, this food stuff, etc. I'll give you a full list and you'll say, fine. And then what will you say then? Okay, I'm going now. Money? Can you please give me the money? This is what will happen, isn't it? I'll be asked for the funds. So when the friends of Allah, when a person attains the benefit from the friend of Allah, then it's amal that will give the reward to everybody concerned. For example, the person said, these are amal, and please take the amal and attain all of the rewards of the amal, so you get the greatest riches. You understand what I'm saying? Easily. So this is amal. We're afraid of the amal, of that deed, of that practice. No, I can't do this. Oh, it's too hard. And there's taqreers and speeches and masjids. Please pray salah for the sake of Allah. Please pray salah for the sake of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Can there be somebody, people more foolish than this, that we are trying to force people and force them to come towards the salah? Is there something that you have to force somebody to do? Tell me. That action that we need to attain, the consequences that we need to attain, we need to be in a constant state of practicing good deeds. Practicing good deeds. So Allah Ta'ala has favored us and given His karam and mercy that do this action and you will come closer to me. You will get closer to me. So if you do amal on this action, Allah says, I will be happy with you. Subhanallah. And if you do this amal, then in Jannah your darajat, your status will increase. And day and night people are doing this every second. Subhanallah, say Subhanallah. Not a second passes in the world. Not a second. Because mashallah, this system is running all around the world. The same system. Not that after a while it'll be closed and sunset, then to sunrise is closed. No. With every breath, the situation is unraveling and people are getting closer to Jannah. Today, the person who's a Qutb, he's become a Ghawth. And the person who's a Ghawth become a Wali, a Prime. And this is every moment Allah has given promotion, because a Muslim all the time constantly is doing actions that Allah Ta'ala results in Allah's happiness and progression. For example, what were you before Isha? Before Isha, you could have prayed Isha and you would have lost all energy and gone home to rest. But now you're sitting in a masjid, you prayed Salah and you prayed full Salah with the Jama'ah. Then you recited the Takbir and then did Dhikr for a little while. Tasbihat that you will recite, and after that the Majlis starts, then Dhikr to perform Dhikr. And this 30-45 minutes we do Dhikr of Allah. Tell me, if we pass away before this 45 minutes is a different stage than if we pass away afterwards due to doing good deeds and doing something in between, then we'll get more reward. So not a second should be wasted by a mu'min, by a believer. This is what we need to understand. Subhanallah. Rather, there's a dua. We should do dua. Allah, if you give us a life, give us such a life, subhanallah, so that I can continue to travel towards my objective. Allah, definitely give me this. And Allah Ta'ala, give me 100 years life, but give me the life with salamti, with peace, with ease. And Allah Ta'ala, give me your assistance. I'm 100 years old, but my iman is mukammal, is complete, that my hands and feet are moving and I'm going into sujood and prostration. And such a great memory that he wouldn't remember Quran before that, but now he remembered the Quran. So what is impossible for Allah? Nothing. But have we ever asked from Allah? Raise your hands if you've asked directly from Allah. If you haven't, then what will you have not asked for your objective, your maqsood? Definitely you will have asked for your needs. Allah says, without you asking, I'll give to you. That Allah Ta'ala says, whoever starts like this in a positive way, for example, if you're going somewhere, say, do dua for me, I've got something that's stuck in between my shop, my business, etc. I'll give a full letter. That when you go to Rosa Mubarak, please explain this, that my business has decreased and I am... that I'm talking about Karachi here, the Karachi agency is stopped, and mashallah Sarkar, you have to do all of this action. Then this cannot be that you don't do this, so that it cannot be that you go from here empty handed and give my name and said a few times. I said, shall I explain your name or shall I go to recite durood, or will I go and explain your story? Subhanallah. I said that I put the piece of paper in my pocket and I said that Hazrat has spoken to me with a lot of love and shafqat. I'll put it into my pocket. Now tell me, what should a person do? So a person has forgotten his objective today. We have forgotten it. We should have so much yakin that Allah Ta'ala says that when you come towards my nearness, subhanAllah, then I will come towards your needs. Aha, subhanAllah. Allah says, when you travel towards my closeness and nearness, then I will come to you close. Allah Ta'ala says that when you come for the awareness and the nearness, Allah Ta'ala says that I will come towards the journey to fulfill your needs. Allah says, I automatically will fulfill needs. If you come towards me for attaining my qurb, Allah says, then I will give you the ability to achieve your objective. And Allah has given us many amal, many great deeds. Do you understand? What are the great amal? Do you understand? So fasting, hajj and prayer. Have you done hajj? Yes, I've done hajj. Just now, a few days. Where are you going now? I'm preparing for hajj, mashallah. Some people, hajj upon hajj, hajj upon hajj, umrah upon umrah, umrah, hajj, umrah upon umrah. Mashallah, they're earning, they've got strength and money and they're going. One hajj is a great reward, one umrah is a great reward. What are you doing? Just doing nafal, reading Quran, then praying tahajjud. I said, subhanallah. MashaAllah, a lot of energy here, a lot of passion here. And are these amal not happening around the world? Tell me, are these not happening or not? Is this not happening today? But remember one thing, One, remember one thing with clarity, that all of this, what I'm saying, is coming automatically in my mind. So what is it that we need to pay attention to? Amal, practicing amal is one, and to get amal accepted is something else. Subhanallah. That we can have a lot of notes in the pocket, to have the pocket full of notes and money, but to understand the asal, the genuine, the reality of the currency is another issue. If I fill your pocket with notes, and then you go there and say, oh, these are old notes, I can't spend these, no, allowing this. Why, Mulana Sahab? Will it continue to run? Will it give benefit? And from there you'll start to empty your pockets and everything is gone. So it doesn't matter how much knowledge a person has listened to this jumla at this point. It doesn't matter how many deeds you have, how many hajj you have done from beginning to now. Whatever we have there, whatever is present. And Allah Ta'ala says that do these things, no problem. But remember one thing, that to get the deeds accepted is a great feat indeed. And if we can get the deeds accepted, then we'll be successful, isn't it? So if we don't, then how will we continue? So another point comes, another daraja comes. They keep on practicing the amal, but remember one thing, that these deeds should be accepted. Otherwise there's no benefit at all. Why? What will happen there? That what will be the discussion with regards to acceptance and forgiveness? Allah says that very clearly, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned about the meeting between Himself and His creation. Those who make do mahana, do mujahida, who make effort, listen carefully. That when a person will gather and amass all his amal, his deeds, and he'll be presented in the court of Allah, and they'll have great deeds, very great deeds, and there'll be salah. And at that time, then the deeds will be put onto a certain standard, onto a certain criterion. This will be the standard that we give to. So when he's reached to that standard, what will happen? Then they won't push and say, you are this, Haji, Umrah, etc. This is the question. So Allah Ta'ala says that I will put the veil on the weight on that scale. On one side all the amal, and on the other side I will put the weight, that in comparison to this, this is the weight. Does he fulfill the weight standard for this? And what is this weight that is applied to the scale of deeds? Let's understand it. Allah Ta'ala says every deed is according to intention. This is the first hadith of Sahih Bukhari. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu is the narrator, I think. And this is a great hadith. Rather, Abdul Haq Muhaddis Delwi rahmatullah has written, Hazrat Abdul Haq, that in reality, with regards to this hadith, that the whole of the deen is within this. And the ulama, the scholars, they will agree with this. Rather, they say that this is one turn of life, a few seconds, that gives a person the understanding of what he is doing or not doing. And some scholars say that half the deen is present in this hadith, and some say the whole of the deen has come into this example. Why? Because our amal, what is the recitation, what we call it, constant repetitioning, or the weight that will be put on the other side, which Allah Ta'ala will prepare, is niyyah, intention, subhanallah. The innama al-amal bil niyat. Allah says your amal will be yours. All of the deeds that you bring, and I will keep them, I will weigh them, I'll give you the reply, Allah Ta'ala says. But I will have my basis then, this will be niyyah. This will be the niyyah. So this is a big point that we have to understand. Allah Ta'ala has not hidden anything from us. The start of this hadith tells us this. Allah Ta'ala says that I will have the niyyah and you bring the amal, the deeds. Subhanallah. And in comparison to this, that if you make the niyyah to do other things, then you will not understand the reality of the reward that you can get. For every action you do, you'll get 10 times reward for each and every letter. Subhanallah. Imagine how much is being amassed. But what should be based on? Innamal amalu bin niyyat. Allah Ta'ala says, what was your niyyah? What was your intention? What was your ikhlas? So my brothers, this is a very great action. A great action. And this is what will happen there, is that great people, great abideen will go there with the deeds, and there will be lines full up with people to the heavens. His deeds will be amassed so high. Allah Ta'ala will have kept the record, and Allah Ta'ala kept the veil of the negligence. And what will happen then after that? Just like a gust of wind comes, and just like we see the columns of cotton that are blown away by the strong hurricane or typhoon. Let's take a latter day example. If you have a phone, and you have a phone, and many emails are in your inbox, but I am lazy, I don't do that many. But a person who is sust, who is lazy, who doesn't clear his inbox, 50, 100, 150, we say, oh, so many emails have come through. And then, for example, you press a button, it says edit, doesn't it? Edit. Yes. And if you press edit, then after that what happens? Then you get the decision, and at the bottom it says delete all in red, doesn't it? It does say that. You understand what I'm saying? So this is all discussion about the Akhirah. And I've fetched these examples from the reality of life that we are facing today. And more than 100, I've eliminated that darkness, subhanAllah. So more than 150 emails I would have. And if I don't have that, then I go through each one by one. It says delete, the red button. Boom, I say, yes, this is very good. So I go to delete, I press it. And what happens? Then everything has disappeared at that time. Such a great amal are coming, mashallah. Such great amal. And what does Allah Ta'ala kept aside? The niyyah, the furniture. The niyyah, the intention. Furniture and the belongings and the items that are needed for a person to live. So if we were like this and had this mindset, then we could go towards our objective. And asal action, the person who has a niyyah, intentions towards akhirah, hereafter, then he learns everything afresh and new. And he has passion or she has passion. So we have to think that, is it going to happen that on the Day of Judgment, my deeds are blown away in terms of they fly away because I'll have nothing left. The 100 I did and they've disappeared. That Allah Ta'ala says that just like I've used emphasis on the end, on making intention, that may not be that we make intention, we waste a lot of time after that, and we lose even that. These are the words of the Quran and the Hadith. That if we are trusting this will happen or this will happen in this many years, then what will happen? The person will pass away. So for this, my brothers, we have to do a lot of fikr, a lot of worrying and effort. But Allah Ta'ala has put a path in between for us to be assisted. Allah Ta'ala says that this hisab will have to be done. And there's nothing that can be concealed from this hisab that we do. The person who creates his niyyah, then he will earn. But many people are here, that 1% you will not find who are fulfilling the obligation of niyyah. Very few people are there who take care of the niyyah, the intention. And in the last Ramadan, so many people made intention, and a person will become an alim, a mufakkir, and a muhaddith. But what worry does he have? Because he had to make that process accepted. And today, we're taking the understanding that we don't know that our niyyah, is it corrected? Is it correct? Will it be understood and implemented? So for this day and age, there's a very great point that I'm about to tell you that we can act on this point for such fakirs like us. Number one, we've learned today that we need to make proper niyyah when we are implementing what we are doing. And this at the moment is not my topic. So we need to take the path that gives us the success. Even if our deeds are less, but to correct the niyyah, we have to make effort. So remember this point. What's the method for this? And this is not my topic of today. I'm telling you something else today. So Allah Ta'ala, with His rahmah and karam, has given us a unique path that despite all of these forces that are against us, Allah Ta'ala set free the ability for us to understand how to attain the goal. Say subhanAllah. Say subhanAllah. Allah Ta'ala is Qadir Mutalik. He is the control of the universe. Allah says that this is it. Let me eliminate everything because our master Allah Ta'ala has given this order. He said, that's it. We'll cease to do this. He said, no, let's look at the game of the Akhirah. Now one person is coming and I'm disappeared. And I've disappeared. I'm not going to explain in detail. Either right is paradise or left is Jahannam. So this man came. He came closer and he didn't show any deeds. First, what did he say? He said an amal. He spoke on this subject. Soon as he said these words, then from above Allah Ta'ala's announcement came. Udkhulul Jannah. Straight away sent this person to paradise. Straight away. Say subhanAllah. And everyone was asking why? That just now his punishment, the last third, has not even started, upon which he was going to show, demonstrate no weight or nothing's been measured or weighed. Then what is it that suddenly he said that the door to Jannah, straight into Jannah, and it will be closed? They will say, no. First take the hisab of the previous deeds. Allah will say that is accepted as well. SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah. So the circumstances have changed now. The scenario has changed. Do you understand what I'm saying? That what a great deed this must be that attains all of this reward. That person, he will have humility. They will say, oh, I can't do this. And suddenly there is imbalance in, you're not even thinking about this properly. We can discuss this separately. But Allah Ta'ala says from high above that leave the path, go straight into Jannah, and that person is going to Jannah. That everything that came before this, that we have to do something, you have to conclude Allah, and that person will say everything accepted due to Allah Ta'ala's permission. SubhanAllah. These are all hadith I'm telling you. Hadith. So today, if I tell you that amal, will you implement it? Say loudly, inshallah. That cannot be a greater secret than this. And we're in such a generation that we don't even know that the 100 nafal that we pray, are they accepted all night long? We did ibadah, is it accepted? Is hajj accepted and qabool? Is everything else, our qiraat accepted? Recitation corrected, etc. Does anybody know? Allah Ta'ala says there will be hisab. There will be the reckoning. And we'll say, that what is it that person's done? That what amal has he told us to do? That everything from before is accepted and here on in is forgiven as well. And Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has not hidden this information. As Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, subhanAllah, I'll give the example here. As Abu Darda radiallahu anhu said, that this hadith is in Bayhaqi, Tirmidhi, Ahmad ibn Majah. And has a Shaykh al-Hadith, Muhammad Zakariya Sahib, rahimahullah, may Allah Ta'ala bestow Noor ala Noor into his grave. And if this hadith is also in his kitab. So who can say that this is hidden? If you don't know, then me and you wouldn't know upon whom at the moment the needs are overwhelming the objective. For us, the needs are overwhelming the subject. So that's why we need to understand, am I available after that? So the person for whom the objective is weak, then they don't know about these things. So shall Allah tell you that action that we need to know? Will you implement this action? There's no laziness. You will realize, we'll realize how important amal is. Today we will realize, today. As Abu Darda radiallahu anhu narrates hadith, and suddenly your eyes will open and say, huh? This action? Because you know this action, what it is. He said that, oh companions, and all the companions were sitting down. Imagine how many narrations there are to this. And he said that, shall I not tell you something today that will elevate your status and your rank to the highest grade? Say subhanallah. Shall I not tell you such an action that will be the best from all of your amal, your deeds? Which deeds? Salah, fasting, hajj, etc. These all amal. And better than this, Allah, I will tell you such a piece of advice. Subhanallah, shall I not tell you such a piece of advice that close to your Rabb is the most purest in form, close to your Lord. So tell me now, what is all this? This is hadith. This is information that's coming. Information. Allah says, shall not tell you an action that in your amal, in your book of deeds, this will be the best deed. And your Malik, Allah Ta'ala, the controller, close to your Malik, this is the most pure of deeds. Yani, in other words, the question doesn't arise that you do something wrong with amal. Such a beautiful, pure thing. If the Malik is pure, then can that stop? No, you cannot make any action to make it without the right niyyah. Everything is pure and has no contamination, no dirt. So ask you again. So the third thing that's coming to our maqsid, all of these things, Allah Ta'ala says that, shall I not tell you an action that all of your darajat will increase, the doors to the will increase, say subhanAllah. So shall I not tell you such an action that Allah Ta'ala says all your deeds that you perform, you will get more. Such a person, the equivalent to the height of the Mount of Uhud and he's spending, he'll be greater than that person. SubhanAllah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is telling us this. The Sahaba, the sweat was dripping. That such a reward, so greater than this is this amal, greater reward. Shall I not tell you such a deed? It's such a deed that you are there against the and harm doesn't come to anybody, but disappointment is even greater than that. Say subhanAllah. So the Sahaba said, that's it. Now we are close to attaining our objective. Bala ya Rasulullah, please tell us, what is it that you've asked for? All our mamulat are in balance at the moment. No hisab, no kitab, nothing. Everything, we are pure from everything. And such an amal, Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has told us, oh Rasulullah, please tell us. Or the son, and the reply came, dhikr Allah. Say subhanAllah again, dhikr Allah. Say it again, dhikr Allah. So this is the praise to Allah, our Rabb, who's given us the tawfiq together for his dhikr, morning and evening, day and night. That's been our hands. The heart is alive. And on top of that, the lataif there are full of nur and light and muhabbat is created. And there's love for the people of Allah. And those people who love Allah, who have regard for Allah, respect the deen. And look at us, our nafs will be crushed. And Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Wali has lowered us and taught us humility. We all forgot what we were before. And the destination is still bleak. But Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala has favored us and given us the opportunity to be higher in Jannah and higher in the paradise. That we think that there's heights in the dunya, I've attained a house and I'm going to attain something else and my ilm is there at advanced, I'll get progression and dunya will be happy with me and will say salam and salute, subhanAllah. We have sacrificed everything and I made you from clay for this reason, that we wanted to elevate, Allah wanted us to elevate the dhikr of Allah, His remembrance, subhanAllah. Tell me now, so who allowed us to do this? Allah Ta'ala has allowed us to be here. Allah Ta'ala's direction, we don't see that who's here, who's not there. We just know that dhikr takes place here and we don't know which silsila is he attached to, what is he, what is in here. Such a love is created that we never look at the deficiencies of that person, say subhanAllah. That we don't even think about the deficiencies of that person. We don't even think, and this is love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a few months ago, all the deeds you have done in the past few months, all forgiven. and with happiness do amal, do hajj and zakat, and everywhere there's acceptance, because from before there's a guarantee that Allah Ta'ala has given, whose guarantee is Sayyid al-Mursaleen, Mahbub Rabbul Alameen, Imamul Anbiya, and his guarantee is coming that I have done this action, and Allah, may Allah be pleased with you. وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. The reason for getting together was to give targheeb. The words that Allah Ta'ala has allowed me to speak, and then I shared those points with you. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرَ. Have we understood how great is the action of dhikr of Allah? There is no riya and no ghiba, etc. Nothing can give the same capacity, but in reality those deeds that in the amal, you will get the same reward or the same loss. And we, with such hardship for years, we'll have saved up what we have there. We have done this for years. We definitely are doing this, but it's a push start. It's difficulty with bedbi, disrespect. We don't start the action. For the sake of dunya, we leave the action. For the sake of dunya, we leave the action, we don't respect the action. And everything, if we do it the right way, makes the person who is the believer like gold. وَلَا ذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. And Qari Sahib, the life has gone dark. Don't understand this point. The dunya has ceased to operate. And then we see our aqabirin, but wasn't there any visit? That today I'm speaking with such depth. This is signed by Allah. And we have to do the dua that Hazrat Ali Murtaza Ramdhari, he sent one sign and the whole of Europe was illuminated. People say that, oh, you keep on speaking about dhikr, is there nothing else to discuss? Oh, servant of Allah, the person who sent me here knows and knew what was dhikr at that time. And we don't have any results consistent who is praying salah away from being impure. And for example, when a person wakes up, do we see openly that somebody is able and capable and wants to learn the hadith? Today is not that generation, my friends. Today shaitan has overwhelmed us and he has big tricks. He gives people Jannah clinic and an observation after some time. SubhanAllah, so we should consider I'm doing the khidmat of the ummah, of the deen. So let's explain an action of the sahab ikram, because our amal deeds that maybe have riya, they will also become like the gold. SubhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying, my friends? This is correct, what I'm saying? You understand? Just stay put here. SubhanAllah. So how much shukr we should do? And should we complain now? I cannot come. I don't know how to operate this or that, and I cannot open my eyes. And where's dhikr happening today? Oh, it's very difficult. Oh, servant of Allah, never be ungrateful, never be ungrateful. That's it. The points I said in the beginning, remember them. That soon as your eyes open, we'll say, where am I? Where have I reached? There will be a trench. We'll see the difference there. And I have spoke today about my Aziz and close friend. My heart is so sad that where's my friend gone? Within seconds he's disappeared. If only he saw this amal, if only he saw these deeds. And as I say, that tomorrow may this not occur, alhamdulillah. That if only the words are handled correctly and we do the dhikr of Allah in exactly the same way as we normally do. Yes, there is some difference. There is some difference. And remember, my friends, one thing. I'm telling you a point here, that every deed will make you tired. Every deed will make you tired. Allah Ta'ala said this. Allah says that don't go towards salah if you're tired. Don't pray or recite the Quran if you're tired. Allah says that I'm giving the ability to leave the salah at that time. Fair enough. And leave the salah. Leave it if there's a severe example here. Such a great ibadah is salah. And how great is the sahaba ikram. Allah Ta'ala says that leave this. La taqrabu. Don't go close to it. Don't go near to it. Don't go near to it. But when it comes to dhikr of Allah, then we say, oh, I'm feeling a bit sleepy. Allah says, do more dhikr. Do more dhikr. Allah, I'm feeling sleepy. What do you know? That in your sleepiness, I can also deliver that. Don't leave this action of dhikr. You're feeling sleepy. Whatever's happening, you cut through it. Because here, there's nothing to put yourself off. SubhanAllah. So Allah Ta'ala, may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. A little bit longer than extra time has been taken. And yesterday, I seated you down for quite a while. So may Allah Ta'ala make this all beneficial for us. And our Hazrat, Khawateen, women folk who are listening, they should also make this objective that I was standing and sitting down. But I will ask you again, that has been quite a while and you are being pestered, etc. So I explain things. Obviously, everybody is summarized in a nice way. وَآخِرُ دَوَهُمْ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ